children are important. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that children are not only important, but they are essential in our world. If we did not have any children, then of course our population on the planet would eventually drop to zero. When we think about kids, they are literally the next generation. They will be the next generation of parents. Children will be the next generation of leaders and teachers. And as we look at the church, the future of the church is grounded in children. I do not know the source. This is marked as anonymous. But one time, a person tried to emphasize the importance of children with these words. 100 years from now, it will not matter. It will not matter what kind of car I drove. 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of house I lived in, how much money that I had in the bank, nor what my clothes looked like. 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of school I attended. It will not matter, and this dates it a little bit, but what kind of typewriter I use. I think we would substitute electronic device there. It will not matter how large or how small my church family was. But the world may be a little better place because I was important in the life of a child. I like those words because they are so true. The impact that we have on children matters. And children do have a big part in our world now and in the future. Children matter in a lot of ways. And it is perhaps for this reason that when we look at the Bible, Old Testament and New, there is a lot of information about children in the Bible. If things go as planned, some Sunday evenings will be devoted to studying what the Bible says about children. Tonight's lesson is sort of an introductory lesson, and I want to deal with teaching children. When we think about young children, if a parent wants to be a good parent, or a child has good parents, the child is going to be taught very early and throughout the life. Young children are typically taught when it's time to get out of a vehicle or if it's time, maybe there is a store that can be walked to that's within half a mile of the house. When it's time to cross the street, when it's time to cross a parking lot, the child is taught to hold the parent's hand. Kids are taught, or at least they should be taught, not to hit others. Kids are taught, or they should be taught, not to throw things. This time of year, if you have young children, you're raising a family, or maybe you have grandchildren come into the house, you might have to teach them, if you have a Christmas tree, not to touch the ornaments. We went through that a few times. Or as they look at the tree and they're enthused about what they see, they might want to go over and yank the socket that's attached to the lights out of the outlet to see whether or not the lights stay on. And you have to teach them about that. Kids are taught, or at least they should be taught, that they do not tell mom and dad no, that mom and dad are the boss. When it comes to the grocery store, kids need to be taught that as you're going down the aisles and you see perhaps some toys, you see cereal or something else that looks attractive, you just don't start grabbing those items off the shelf because they look attractive. Children, as they age, the teaching continues. In fact, it seems like there is a never-ending process when it comes to teaching children. The teaching that needs to be given to children involves a secular realm, but the teaching that needs to be administered or offered to children also applies to the spiritual realm. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say quite early and throughout the text, some things about teaching children. Back in the book of Exodus, where we've been looking again for the past few weeks, we have a statement in Exodus chapter 10. Before, of course, the 10th plague fell, we find that the Israelites, in preparation for their departure from Egypt, God said, "And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son." And God said, "I want you to tell in the ears of thy sons' sons what things I have brought upon Egypt and my signs which I did among them, that ye may know that I am Jehovah." God said, when you have children, when you have grandchildren, you teach them these things because they need to know these facts. God said, teach your children. And God said, you teach your grandchildren. Then just three chapters later, in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 14, God said a time would come when the Hebrews would have children. And the Hebrew children would have some questions. And God said, when that time comes, when they want to know about some events that took place, you teach them, you tell them, you give them this information about religious history. As you continue to look through the scriptures, you find that spokesman after spokesman for God talked about teaching the children and teaching the grandchildren. I'm only going to read from one part of the Bible tonight, quote a number of passages. And this reading is going to come from one of the Old Testament prophets. It's Joel. He, of course, is one of the shorter minor prophets. He's just as important as the others. But Joel only wrote three chapters. And as you look at the book of Joel, a substantial part of this book is about a locust plague. And it was going to be a terrible locust plague. Joel said that God wanted the Hebrews to teach their children. And then children after their children, the grandchildren, about what had taken place. Starting with Joel chapter 1, verse 1. The word of Jehovah that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this. Listen up, ye old men. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days or in the days of your fathers? Have you ever seen anything like this locust plague? And then verse 3. God said concerning this plague, he said, I want you to tell your children of it. And then after you tell your children, I want you to let your children tell their children. And their children, they need to tell another generation. There is literally passage after passage in the Bible which talks about teaching children. Tonight I want to take the word teach, T-E-A-C-H, and turn this simple word into an acrostic. Now, if it's been a little while since you've looked at an acrostic means that you take a word and then each letter in the word is used to develop a point or a distinct thought. The word T in teach is going to stand for the word train. Most, I think, in here at some time in the past were taught how to ride a bike. I was, and I think that's true for most. But you know, even though I was taught how to ride a bike, I was never trained to be a cyclist. I also believe that this is true for the others, at least the majority who are here this evening. A trained cyclist has not only had teaching, but there's been instruction and likely practice. So when it comes to climbing up a hill on a bike, they have been trained. They know. They're not guessing how to make the climb. They're not trying to figure it out. They've been taught and they've been trained and they can make those steep climbs. If you are a trained cyclist, you know exactly when to shift. Now, I've had some speed bikes over the years, and generally I just maybe get tired of this gear or that gear and flip it around until I think this works well, or let's try this and see how it goes. But if you've been trained in cycling, you know when, almost down to the second, when to go ahead and change the gear and what gear to change to. When we think about a trained cyclist, he or she is someone who knows to get through that cycling contest the food that they need to eat. They know perhaps down to the ounce how much hydration they need. So when we think about teaching, that's generally part of training someone. But when we think about training, oftentimes it goes several steps beyond simply teaching someone. Children need to be taught. But the Bible also says that they need to be trained. And that's an important matter. Children in our time today, they are exposed to numerous evil forces in our world. Internet, TV, radio. When they walk out the door and they go to schools, there are many items which they face which want to destroy their faith. And if kids are going to be successful as far as getting through, navigating through some of the problems in life, becoming a Christian, and trying to live the Christian life, they need to be taught and they need to be trained. Peter spoke about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, giving a defense for the gospel. Now, we can teach people, but if you're really going to defend the gospel well, you're probably going to need some training. So for the adult, there needs to be some training, but also for the kids. And that's possible. You may remember what Paul said too and about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. To that preacher, Paul said, you've known the scriptures. You've known the sacred writings from when, Paul? From a babe. Timothy had been taught. Timothy had been trained. And because of that training, he became a very effective Christian. Suppose that we as a parent, maybe our kids are out of the house, maybe we have kids on the way, or we still have some young ones in the house. Suppose that we decided to train our children for a particular event. And you can choose whatever event you want. Maybe it's a sporting event. Maybe it is a choir. Or maybe it's academics. Whatever it is, we want to not just teach our child, we want to train our child. And to make sure that our child is properly trained, to give the best possible training, we do not withhold any instruction. Whatever is necessary to really train that child to be fully prepared to engage in the sport, the contest, the academic challenge, whatever that might be, we go to great lengths to make sure that our child is trained. If the child needs to be driven across the county for the training, we will do that. If money is required for the training, we will pay the fees. We will work to give our child the very best training so he or she can succeed in the given area or discipline. God's word says not only teach your kids, the Bible says you train your children. Remember Proverbs 22, verse 6? Train up a child in the way he should go. Train the child. Abraham, going back even beyond where we started tonight, in the book of Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, the Bible says that Abraham was going to be a man who would command his children. Now, that doesn't mean that he was some kind of authoritarian figure that would run around shouting, you do this and you do that. It is a way of saying that he was someone who was going to take his family responsibilities seriously. He was someone who would seek to train the children that he had. Deuteronomy. Another Old Testament passage which talks about training children. The Bible there says, diligently teach. Not just teach, but you be diligent. What is going to be the result? The consequence of that diligent teaching? The child is going to be trained. When we have the opportunity to influence people, maybe as a young parent, more children are coming into our household. As a parent trying to raise children. As a grandparent that is able to interact with a grandchild. Or someone that is perhaps friends with parents who have young people. Try to train the child. That's God's will. Seek to make the most of every opportunity, not just to teach, but also to train. Some of that may be in person. Some of it may be in another venue. But do your best to train kids. When it comes to children, the T in teach, tonight is being used to stand for the word train. Well, let's move on a little bit. In teach, after T, we have an E. What might we let the letter E stand for? Well, in this lesson, the E is going to stand for example. Training through examples is not the only way to train a child. But it is certainly a possible way, and it can be a very effective way. When we start looking at the Bible, you may not have ever thought about Scripture in these terms, but the Bible is literally a book of examples. It's filled with examples. The examples start early. Adam and Eve are examples. The children of Adam and Eve are also examples. And the examples just continue. When you go back and you look at Lot, or Noah, or Job, Jesus, the apostles, rulers like Pilate, we have example upon example. Some of the examples are good, righteous, and right. Some of the examples are bad, evil, examples to avoid. Children learn from examples. And if you've had children, if you know very much about children, you know the power of an example in a child's life. I'm not going to get too personal tonight, but if you have a child that witnesses some type of bad behavior, they never thought about that evil deed before, but somebody does it in a classroom, somebody does it at a child care place, a child care facility, and the child sees a child do something bad, what happens? That child, 9 times out of 10, will mimic that bad behavior. And they don't need an hour to process it. Once they see it, it's almost, we've got it, we know how to do that, that looks fun, and we are going to follow the example. Kids often emulate the worst examples. It takes only seconds to emulate a bad example, and then for the next 20 years, you're trying to undo what they saw in less than 30 seconds. If a child is going to spend almost 2 decades, typically about 18 years, in a home, he or she during that time will encounter all kinds of examples, some good, some bad, some sort of in the middle. And as they get examples from mom, dad, and perhaps both parents, they will at times in every single home see some examples which are not consistent with the gospel. I know that because that's what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the latter part of that verse, Paul says, all sin, all fall short. That's present tense. There is no person who becomes a Christian and lives a flawless or a sinless life. But as the child is being trained, and as the child sees those examples, hopefully more good than bad, that's the way it should work in a Christian house. But even when those bad examples are offered up to the child, a parent can take the transgressions that they engage in or commit, and use those to also train the child. Parents can train the children to show that no one is perfect. We try to be good parents. We try to live the Christian life. But even we, as hard as we try, we are not perfect. Only one was perfect, that was the Lord. And we do the best that we can to follow him, but we still sometimes mess up. Sometimes in some big ways. But with that example, we've sinned. But son, daughter, let me show you the right way to fix the problems. Let us show you the right way to deal with sin. So in those examples that we leave that are bad examples, we can go back and correct things and leave still a positive example with kids. Being honest and being upright with sin helps young people learn how it helps train them when it comes to living their lives for God. When we think about examples, one of the passages that comes to my mind is from the life of Jesus back in John chapter 13. This is the place where we read about foot washing. And the Lord, as he dealt with the apostles, he said, I'm leaving you an example. He actually used that word in John chapter 13, verse 15. And the example there was not get a bucket, carry around some water with a rag and some soap and wash the feet of people. That wasn't the example at all. The example was humility. Jesus washed the feet of the apostles to show that they needed to be willing to serve others. He taught on the subject of humility. And then with that teaching, he wanted to train, in this case, by an illustration about humility. And that's exactly what he did. The Bible is full of examples, once again, to help us as adults and even children to be trained in the right way. Paul told some Christians he had given them example. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I've been with you, and I've given you an example so that you will know how to live in the right manner. Israel. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. There Paul told the Corinthians that Israel serves as an example. We're trying to train you, Corinthians, to live in the right way. You're not. But there are some examples that you can learn from. Some of our examples that we offer to others in life, especially when it comes to kids, may be indirect. We might not even think that we're offering an example, good or bad, but we are. And there will be some times where examples, especially when it relates to young people, will be very evident. Maybe we're trying at times to offer an example which is intentional. But children can be taught, and they are taught by examples, good and bad. So when we think about training them, remember the importance of examples when it comes to training kids. T's for train, E is for example. So in our word teach, what comes next? Well, the A would be next, and I'm going to let the A stand for application or apply. We can train our children, and we can give them a variety of good examples. But with all that training, and with all the good examples, it really is not going to be very effective in the end unless we help them apply the material. It's possible to offer great teaching, training, great examples, lack the application, and we then make a terrible mistake. As I was thinking about this, the thought crossed my mind that I guess this is true in every profession. But when it comes to preaching, preachers have been criticized for a lot of things over the years, some of it just, some of it not. But if I were to look at the criticism that has been leveled at preachers over the years, I suspect that the greatest criticism, generally speaking, is that preachers do not offer enough application, at least in certain circumstances. There are some men who are great preachers, some men who can preach a sermon, and I mean they just knock it out of the park every single time. But if you take those sermons and you look at them, overall, oftentimes, even though it was a fantastic message, there was very little application. The Bible is a book which is designed to be applied. A lot of knowledge, a lot of examples, but without the application, we really don't get very much out of it. Now, I would hasten to say that not every sermon is going to offer the same degree or the same amount of application. And it also needs to be said that not every point, when it comes to application, is going to perhaps be as significant to us, or it may have some differences. For example, if we were to teach on the subject of anger, we could apply that. If we were to teach about the existence of God, we could also apply that. But some might find that the sermon on anger has a lot more application to them than a sermon on the existence of God. So application on both counts, but it's probably going to be different depending on who hears the material. Children need to be taught. They need to have the examples, but they've also got to have the examples applied. And the way that we try to offer application to kids can vary. Sometimes we might let a child come up with the application on his or her own. I think this is one of the things that takes place in a lot of Bible classes that are conducted for kids. Suppose we have a Bible class teacher, and the Bible class teacher is covering the passage where Jesus talked about a bird falling to the ground. The bird dies. And the teacher points to the bird dying and says to the students, look, God knows everything. He knows that that bird has died. He knows when it died. He knows where it died. He knows what's going to happen to it. He knows all the things about the bird. And the application might be this. What else do you think God knows? Now the child is being called upon to take that Bible fact and to try to plug that into his or her life and circumstances and think, how can I begin to relate this truth to my life? That's a good thing to do. We could also ask, if we were teaching that class, if we were that Bible class teacher, we could also ask a child what God would know about him or her. Or what God does know about him or her. If he knows that much about a bird, which is not going to go to heaven or hell, what would he know? What would he be interested in from a person who's one day going to spend eternity with him or without him? It is essential. It is critical when it comes to kids and even adults, but kids are the focus of tonight's lesson. It is critical for kids to get to the point where they can start seeing how the Bible applies to their life. The knowledge, the training, the examples are wonderful, but application is where the rubber meets the road. We need for young people, this is also true for adults, but we need especially for young people, for them to be trained. It's a serious matter. We live in a time where a lot of young people are not being trained, or they're being trained in the wrong ways, and that's something that needs to be fixed. We live in a time where with that training, our young people need examples, good examples. And they need to see, they need to begin to understand how the Bible can be applied to their lives. And if we will do those things, train them, give them good examples, and help them apply to the Bible, will come to the last two words and teach. We will stand a good chance that they will be Christians. That's the C in teach. And then the H in teach. And that not only will they be Christians, but they will spend eternity in heaven instead of hell. Most parents, I believe, want the best for their kids. It's rare for me to meet a parent who wants the worst for the children. But the greatest desire, if we want the very best for our children, the greatest desire that we should have is for them to become a Christian, to be faithful in God's service, to be a strong Christian who spends eternity with God. When we think about kids, they may, and I really don't like this word, I'm going to use the word fail, but maybe we should use a less intense word. But a child may come out dead last in his or her graduating class. And maybe the parent, in some respects, feels like that was a failure. The child should not have finished last. Or in some cases, it may be that the child fails to graduate from school. It may be that a parent has a child who has tried and tried to get a date during high school, maybe college. And for whatever reason, he or she was never able to get a date. As that child gets out of the home, it may be the case that the child is never able to get a good job. It might be the case that that child that the parent loves so deeply has bad health. It may be the case that that child, after he or she is raised, there is just hurdle after hurdle, and life just never seems to come together. Or maybe they have other kids, and with the others, things seem to work out very well, but there just seems to be failure after failure. Nothing seems to work. In those cases, and that does happen sometimes, in the end, it all doesn't matter. Life is temporary. What we face on this earth will not last. The only thing that will last is eternity. Was a person in a right relationship with God? And we help our kids get into a right relationship with God by that training, by those examples, and by the application that we have discussed. This morning, we briefly touched on the subject of children in conjunction with elders. It was pointed out, especially from John chapter 17, verse 12, that we, if we are a parent now, if we have been a parent, if we will be a parent, there are no guarantees with kids. They have free will. And sometimes that free will takes us in directions that are beyond our wildest imaginations, and sometimes it results in great tragedy. The best parents, the finest families, are not guaranteed faithful children. But the Bible does say this. There's a process that we can use to train our children in the right way. And that process, teach and train. Try to be that good example and offer that application when it comes to the Word of God. And even if a child does not, perhaps in the late teen years, in the 20s, in the 30s, in the 40s, in the 50s, even if the child does not stick with the way that he or she was trained, oftentimes. And the older I get, the more people I have contact with over the years, the more people I see who get to the point where they are 60, 70, 80, and they are in the last throes of life. They have cancer. A doctor has said you have another condition and you're not going to live for very long. You better make sure that you're ready to die. And they reach out really at the end of life and say, I know what I was taught. I know the training I had. I had good examples. And I was given the application, but I failed to apply it. But now I'm within the sights of death. And I want to make sure I'm in the right relationship with God. There will surely be many parents who died. And when they left this life, their child was not in a right relationship with God. They prayed, they worked. They fervently hoped that their child would one day return. They died without seeing it. But someone was able to talk to that child, to train that child in the ways, or at least do some reminding about the training, and the child came back. Are we, if we are a Christian, trying as we go through our lives, trying to help train, trying to help provide a good example, and trying to help apply the Bible in the lives of children? I'll tell you this, the devil, he's trying to train them, and he's doing a pretty good job. The world is trying to train children to head in the direction it's in, it's going in. The peers of children are also trying to train them in the ways of the world. The church, and I'm not just here thinking about Bible class teachers for the younger ages. The church, all of God's people in a local congregation need to see the importance and the value of children. And there's some things that as people, whatever age, we can do in a local congregation. When was the last time you took some time to spend with a child? Have you thought about, as you go through your Christian life, whether it's here or maybe outside of the building, trying to be a good example to children? Have you tried to help them see the value, the importance of Christianity? Perhaps even to the point of trying to help them apply the Bible to their lives. Or are they just those little short people that are so easy to overlook? We're busy perhaps with our adult friends and think, well, yeah, one day we'll pay attention to the kids. Kind of reminds me of the Cat Stevens song, The Cats in the Cradle. Sometimes it can be just too late. Now is the time to pay attention to kids. They are precious. Are we doing our best to train them, to offer them a good example, even if they are not blood related to us, and trying to help them apply the Bible to the life? If not, we're not doing what we can to help the future leaders, the future parents, and the future helpers in congregations. Kids matter. Let's keep them in mind. Let's consider what we can do, what else we can do to help them be strong in the faith and true servants of God. Tonight, if you are perhaps in your mind a good person, but you've not yet become a Christian, you're setting an example. Not the best example, but you're setting an example that you can live your life without God, not being on his side. And that's not a good example for kids. Now, that's certainly not the only reason or the sole reason to become a Christian. But we do have to recognize that refusing to become a Christian is setting an example. If we're someone who's not trying to be a faithful Christian, once again, we're setting an example. And not just a bad example over here for a minute or two, but we're setting that example day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Are we trying to live the best possible life that we can to help our kids? We hope so. If tonight we know that we're not doing that, and we recognize the need to change, if we can help you in a public way, either to begin that right life or to get you back on that path, we let us know how we can aid you as we stand and sing the selected song.